we come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you say that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
When you think of the book of Joshua, what stories come to your mind? The crossing of the Jordan River? The stones of remembrance? Maybe you think about the tumbling walls of Jericho or the day the sun stood still. The book of Joshua is more than all that. It is a book of historical facts and events in Israel's story, but it's also about new beginnings for God's people. It encourages us to be strong and courageous in the world today as we claim our rich spiritual inheritance in Jesus Christ. The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study titled Joshua, Be Strong and Courageous. More information is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry.
How many of you remember Larry Norman? Have you ever heard that name, Larry Norman? Yeah, four of us. Maybe four, maybe even not even four. But Larry Norman is from way back. Everything in my life is from way back. Larry Norman was a Christian musician that his songs were so prophetic in so many ways. He was the one who wrote that in the end times, a piece of bread would buy a bag of gold, was one of the lines in one of his songs. And are we not there right now today, almost? A piece of bread would buy a bag of gold. Well, Larry Norman, in this particular song that comes to my mind very often, he said, one way to heaven. Children, hold up high your hands. One way, free and forgiven, children of the land. Two roads diverged in the middle of my life, I heard a wise man say, and I took the one less traveled by, and that's made the difference every night and every day. So I say one way to heaven. Hold your heads up high. Follow, free and forgiven. I am free and forgiven. I am free and forgiven. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are free and you are forgiven. And I don't know who needs to hear that tonight. You are free and forgiven. You are free and forgiven. And then it finishes with Children of the Sky. I don't want you to get hooked on the Children of the Sky and be all worried about, oh no, that song just goes off. It's worshiping in the sky. It's worshiping in the clouds, all these things. Do you know that there's a church called the, it's a progressive church, which I just love that name. But they dumped a bunch of dirt out in front of their church. And then he taught on John 3:16, for God so loved the earth that he gave his only begotten son. For God so loved this earth, taking away the very essence, the very thing of who Jesus Christ is and why he came to this earth. We need to know why we believe what we believe, and know the word of God. So one way to heaven, only one way. You've heard people say, a lot of times I've heard people say, there, you know, every road, there are a lot of roads that lead to God. There, in fact, every road probably leads to God. And I realize if we just stop and think about that for a second, do all roads lead to Mendocino? No. Do all roads lead to New York? Well, they go in that direction, but they don't get you into the city. There is one way. There is only one way, as I hold up two fingers. There are only one way. It was easier to see that. I pledge allegiance. No. So, One way. I recently heard an illustration by a young man, and he was talking about the fact that there's only one way, and he illustrated it this way. He had a bunch of keys in his hand, and he said, I want to get into my car, and all of these keys are very nice. They're lovely keys. I like every single one of them, but only one of them will open the door to my car. He looked at it and he said, oh, this other key that's on here, it looks very similar to the key that will open the door. But you know what? It won't open the door because there's only one key that opens the door to salvation. And that key is Jesus Christ. And we need to remember that. Only one way. Only one way. He presented it so well, so simply. Just one key opens the door, and you say, well, yeah, well, my key opens with me just, you know, coming near it. But what do you have as you're coming near it? A key, a fob, something. And does that fob open any other door? Any other car door? I hope not. It's not meant to. Take it back. If it does, one way. There's only one way to heaven, only one way to Jesus Christ. And we need to respond to that. And so, Father, as we just get into your word right now, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for your anointing. I pray right now, Lord, that there would be nothing, nothing that gets in the way of your word. Father, I put all of myself aside. Lord, every bit of myself, only want your voice to be heard. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege that you give us of meeting here. I thank you for this book of Joshua. I thank you for the message that you have for today. And I just pray for your anointing, Lord. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. As many of you know, I ask the Lord every year for a scripture for my year. One scripture for the year. Well, this year, my scripture is Psalm 65:11. And it says, you, speaking of God, crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drip, overflow with abundance. Psalm 65 is considered a national psalm of praise and thanks to God for his goodness. It was apparently sung after the spring rains came to water the parched land. The song was even more meaningful in the nation than it had been through a particularly bad, dry season. It meant even that much more. Now, he crowns us. You crown the year with your goodness. A crown is a special hat, for lack of a better word. It's a special hat, and that hat goes on to kings. It's worn by queens. It's worn by emperors. It's worn by other royalties. And we know all too well that human crowns fall off eventually. And sometimes those human crowns get down around the neck. We have recently seen as one crown was moved to another participant, so to speak, and that which was no longer. Now there is something new with an old crown on a new situation. And so crowns that eventually fall off. But God crowns the year. His grace will crown every day we face in the year with all of its challenges. You looked at that or you heard that and you said, you will crown this year with your goodness. Well, already it's been a hard year. Already. But you're going to crown it with your goodness. Help me to understand that. Crowns that are mentioned in the Bible, 2 Timothy 4:8, speaks of being crown of the crown of righteousness. In James 1:12, it speaks of the crown of life. Isaiah 61:3 talks about a crown of beauty. 1 Corinthians 9:25 speaks of an eternal crown. 1 Peter 5:4 speaks of a crown of glory. And in Psalm 51:11, it says, "Everlasting joy shall be upon their head." Everlasting joy shall be upon their head. I'm not going to piggyback anybody. It's everlasting joy. Be upon their heads. Everlasting joy. Let's look at the crown of Psalm 65:11. You might want to turn to Psalm 65 as we just go through that. That crown is goodness, his goodness. His goodness. Did you know, of course you know, that many countries, even the UN, name each year with some form of identification or a plan of action. Now, through the years, I've heard some of those things, and I remember, "It's the year of the cat." Back in my day, we sang songs like that. "It's the year of the cat." Anybody else remember that song? I hope so. There was a year of the moon, the year of children, the year of shelter. Did you know that in 2022, the UN termed that year with this? The International Year of Basic Sciences for Sustainable Development. The UN. The International Year of Basic Sciences for Sustainable Development. My prayer is that this year we will it's going to be the one in which God will give us a bountiful harvest, that we, as we remain on his path, it will drip with abundance. It will overflow with abundance. Even though things around us may be uncertain, is there anything around us that's certain? Can somebody name something that is absolutely certain? One thing, death. I don't know. Are taxes absolutely certain? Eventually, this body is going to die. That's the only thing that's for certain. 100% of people die. 100%. Some of us are going to be changed into his likeness when he comes for us and we're raised up. Our times that we live in now are more uncertain than they've ever been. There's so little that we can trust in besides Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And even though it's uncertain, we take comfort in knowing that God's goodness is upon us. God's goodness is crowning you. God's goodness is upon you. In Psalm 65, we see in verse 2, he answers our prayers. In verse 3, he forgives our sin. In verse 4, he fills us with the good things of his house. In verse 5, he answers with awesome deeds. In verse 5 through 7, he protects us. In verse 8, he does wonders. In verses 9 through 13, he sends rain and makes the land fertile as the climax to a year of abundant blessing. He sends rain and makes the land fertile as the climax to a year of abundant blessing. God is going to bless us abundantly in the things that we need. Looking back on last year, I see a lot of the best blessings of the Lord. Blessings that he's given me, I've seen blessings being poured out on you. Many of them have been in supernatural ways. I don't know how many of you know Pastor Fausto. Pastor Fausto should be dead. By the way that we looked at everything, he was so sick. And yet this past Sunday, He walked in those doors. And he looks great. That is supernatural. That is a supernatural blessing. We say, oh, those things, miracles don't happen today. Mm-mm, not happening. Oh, yes, they do. And he is one of those miracles. And we see miracles all the time happening. We just don't pay attention to it. Sometimes we overlook it. A man said, you may lack the fastest, the finest, and the latest, but you won't lack what is needed. You may lack the fastest, the finest, and the latest. My clothes are outdated. Oh no, what am I going to do? My clothes are outdated. But you won't lack what is needed. I shall supply all your needs according to my riches and glory. God has made that promise. God's favor will be seen even in the hard places. Even the hard pathways overflow with abundance. And no doubt you and I have faced some, if not many, hard pathways are ahead. Anybody here who can say this past year you didn't have any hard places? Yeah, I didn't think so. We've all had those hard places that we go through. It's part of life. Everybody goes through it. It rains on the righteous and the unrighteous. Everybody goes through trials. Everybody goes through rough stuff. It's part of life. But the psalmist says, even the hard pathways overflow with abundance. Even the hard pathways overflow with abundance. As we look into the book of Joshua, let's remind ourselves that before the promised land could be occupied or could be conquered, the Jordan had to be crossed. And the walls of Jericho had to come down. Do you have some walls that need to come down? I have some walls that need to come down. I want to say all of us have walls that we want to come down because that makes me feel better that I have walls that need to come down. But I think it probably is true. Some walls that need to come down. And so all of those things have to be done before we entered into that, before the promised land is conquered. Someone said, if God takes us on a stony path, he will give us he would fit us with strong shoes. If God takes us on stony paths, if God takes us, he doesn't promise great shoes on the stony paths that we go on our own. But on the paths that God provides, on the paths that God takes us on stony paths, he will fix us with strong shoes. The psalmist speaks about abundance after a dry season. The past year, I don't know about some of you, but I'm going to say that probably all of us went through a bit of a dry season. I know I went through a bit of a dry season this past year where I felt dry. I believe, and I'm encouraged, and I'm going to encourage you to do the same, to believe the same, that we will see God's abundance overflowing in the hard pathways. Sometimes when we don't see God in the hard pathways, they're just dry places. We need to see the presence of the living God. We will see it, so this is our verse for the year. We will see it fulfilled if we remember that on our part, we need to give the Lord Jesus the first place in every area of our life. Did you hear that? He needs the first place in every area of my life. I read an article by a friend of mine, and he wrote, to achieve spiritual success, do not forget to give God the first hour of the day, the first day of the week, the first part of every paycheck. Here's a good one, the first consideration in every decision. The first consideration in every decision. And the first place in my heart. We gotta give God all of the firsts in our life. All of the firsts. The first hour of the day, the first day of the week, the first of every paycheck, the first consideration in every decision, and the first place in our heart. May we receive God's crown of goodness and a bountiful harvest as we move into this year, and may we see his abundance overflowing even in the hard places, even in the hard pathways. May we see that happen. But wait, I'm supposed to be giving the introduction to the book of Joshua, right? Well, I did mention about crossing the Jordan, and I did mention, you might have noticed, about the walls of Jericho coming down. But your Bible has such a good, lots of your Bibles have good introductions in them. However, your Bible study has very good introduction in it. And you are going to read it, and you are going to learn from that introduction on that particular one, because it is so good as you study through the Word of God. Let me say this. The book of Joshua is the story of God delivering a 700-year-old promise to an old man who had no kids. Go to the land that I will show you, he told Abraham when he was 75 years old. I will bless you and make your descendants into a great nation, Genesis 12, 1 and 2. When Abraham obeyed and arrived near the center of Canaan, which is now Israel, God said, look around from the north, south, east, and west. I will give you and your family all the land you see. It will be theirs forever. Genesis 12, 14, and 15. Do you realize that Israel has never in its history ever gone and taken every bit of land that God gave them? They took most of it. They took some of it. They have a little bit of it, but they never conquered it all to this day. The family would go to Egypt to escape a famine. They grew so much in their numbers that the Egyptians feared the Hebrews. And so what did they do with them? They enslaved them. And then what happened? But under God's order, Moses freed them. And now under Joshua, God's order, Joshua was taking them home. Many of the scenes in the story are just as dramatic as the Exodus story. Well, I mean, we have the water of the Jordan River stops in its place, so the Israelites can enter the promised land. The walls of Jericho spontaneously fall. I love that. Oh yeah, look, it's falling. All of a sudden, it just happened. I can't explain it. The sun and the moon stand still so Joshua's soldiers can finish an important battle. And it's clear that the conquest of Canaan had little to do with Joshua's military abilities. He was a good soldier. He was a great warrior. You remember that Joshua, when he was fighting on the field, and Moses had his arms up. And as long as Moses had his arms up, the war was being won. But when Moses' hands got tired and he put them down, the war changed sides. And he put his hands back up and it changed back. And he put his hands down and goes back in the other way. And so two guys on either side of him hold his hands up. And as long as his hands are up, they are winning the war. And that's how they won the war. Several years back, I was at a women's retreat. And we were singing, and the Lord was doing great things, and we were worshiping, and the Lord was giving words of knowledge. The Lord was speaking, people were speaking out words of scripture, and if you're not familiar with that, I'm sorry, but that's what was happening. And so all of this stuff was going on as my hands were raised and I was just worshiping the Lord and just praising him as things went on, and my arms got tired and I put them down, and all of a sudden the room went quiet. That's strange. And so I began to say something, worship the Lord, glory to the Lord. And again, it rose up. As long as my hands were raised, the Lord was speaking to us. There's nothing special about me, but God used me to be able to do that so that people can see what God can do as we worship him, as we praise him, even in the hard places, no matter what the hard places are. It had nothing to do with the Israelites' bravery. We'll see some of that story as well. It had everything to do with a promise God made to an old man who had no kids. God always delivers on his promises, always. Always delivers on his promises. And he is going to give us a year that has been crowned with his goodness as we stay on his paths. We will find that it drips, it overflows with abundance. You know, when I think about this word drips or overflowing, when we had some bees that got into the eaves of our house, and so we had a beekeeper remove them from us for us, and then he gave us some of the comb, the honeycomb, and that's what I think about. When that happens, that honey was so sweet. It was buttery tasting, actually. But you know what? When you held it up, it just dripped. It was so full. That's what I think about the blessings of the Lord. It just drips as we walk in his path. It just drips of his goodness. It drips with abundance. God will provide all we need, and it will be in abundance. God will give us all we need to accomplish whatever he's called us to do. I'm looking forward to what God has to teach us this year as we walk through this book of Joshua, prepared as we are against the spiritual attacks of the enemy. He won't win. We will stand. We will learn how to fight. Joshua, the stories in Joshua are going to show people for who they really are. And they're going to show God for who he really is. And Joshua being a type of Christ, we'll see some of that. I can't wait to get into this book. It will change our lives, I promise you. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you that you give us your word. I thank you that you have blessed us to overflowing with a joy unspeakable and full of your glory. We are filled to overflowing with that, Lord, with that joy unspeakable and full of your glory. Your glory. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah to the living God. Hallelujah to your name. Thank you, Jesus, for the way that you have spoken into our lives. Lord, that you take a nobody and use them in a way that brings glory to you. When we realize we must bring down the walls, Lord, when we realize that we need a Savior, that we need to be born again. We need a start over. We need forgiveness. Lord, I pray for forgiveness. I pray that you would forgive me for the things that have disappointed you. We call them sins. Forgive me, Lord. Cleanse my heart. And Lord, I want you to live in my heart and rule my life. And because I've asked you to do that, and I know that it's according to your word, I know that you've done it. And I thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus will
listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495. In the power of your name, I'm giving up.